Amen, and God bless the reading of his word this morning. And Jordan, thank you so much. And how thrilling it is to be in the house of God today to worship our Lord God. You know, several years ago, actually back in the year 1985, there was a movie made out in Hollywood entitled Back to the Future. Some of you may have seen that movie, and it was really about a young boy who was able to dream and think of a time machine that he could build that would take him back before the future. And actually, we all know that we can't go back to the future. That time is gone. And the Apostle Paul said that, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth unto those things that are before, and I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. If there was ever anything at all that New Testament Christians did, it was that they would reflect upon the future and not upon the past. You know, that's a great lesson in and much for us today, isn't it? To realize that the future is as bright as the promises of Almighty God. I'm thankful that we live in this time, aren't you? Are you? Amen? Yeah. Yes. I'm thankful that God has blessed us. He has given us the opportunity to be here this morning in his house and worshiping and honoring him. And someone has appropriately said, and how true it is, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And you know, God has given us that opportunity. We read in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, where David said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, what does all of that really mean? We read that passage over and over again, but it teaches us that we are to recognize how few days we will exist upon this earth. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason they be 80, yet there is strength, there is labor, there is sorrow right along with it, and it is cut off, and we fly away. When you are young, when you're old, when you're 60 or 6, healthy, wealthy, if you're feeling puny, and some of you may this morning, I don't know, or poor, you can make the rest of your life the best of your life. I know a lot of people that teach that the best is over. No, I believe, I've always believed, my wife will tell you this, that I have always believed that the best is yet to be. I believe that God is going to bless us if we set priorities in our life as they should be set. Sometimes God is not number one in our life. But we read in the book of Matthew 6 and 33 that we are to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and the wonderful blessings of God will be ours. You'll be beneficent of those great blessings. We should give God priority in our life. Now, in order to seek the kingdom of God, you have to start seeking the king. You see, there can be no kingdom without a king. And Christ is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords, and he has established his kingdom. You remember when he was discussing with Peter about the coming kingdom? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice how he uses the word kingdom and the word church, and he does it interchangeably. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. He doesn't say church, but he says, I will give unto him the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever is bound on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. We cannot seek the kingdom of God without first seeking the king. In Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8, Christ is now reigning as king. We have a lot of people that believe that he's going to come back to earth and reign 1,000 years here. But we know that the Bible actually teaches in 1 Thessalonians 4, and really verse 13 through about verse 18, He says, "You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the commandments of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. The Lord is not just someone you passively accept. Now, I hear people say that all the time. All you got to do is accept Jesus. Just accept Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you accept Jesus' sacrifice. It means you accept his commands. It means that you accept him in every way that is humanly possible. He is someone that you actively seek in life. The Lord is not just someone you toss around at whim, but he is someone that you transform your life after. You want to follow Christ. God does not have any favorites. Now, that may come as a big surprise to a lot of you, but he doesn't have favorites. He does have intimates, for James 4 and 8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." Listen to what Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He was called the weeping prophet. He was the one who wept over Israel, but he was the one who was loyal and faithful. And the Jews today still quote from this great book of Jeremiah. And the prophet said, "And you shall seek me, and you will find me, and you shall search for me with all," notice that, "all of your heart." Now, there's a passage I'm going to read for you this morning, also taken from Matthew 6, 30 through 33. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, how much more will God clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought for your life, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto him." We have to let our faith put our Father first. That's a pretty good little equation, isn't it? Let your faith put your Father first. And God should be put first today. Jesus does not want your prominence in your life. Jesus wants preeminence. That means he wants everything about you. Not just to be prominent in your life, but he wants to be preeminent in your life. Colossians 1 and verse 8, "And he deserves it all, for he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," not just part of them, "but in all things that he might have the preeminence." And when you seek the king, you seek two things that are really, really most important. First of all, you are seeking for the glory of the king. Do you know that all that we're doing here this morning, nobody's glory but God's? We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. To him, all glory belongs. It's his. We're not worthy of any glory. We may be up here preaching the word of God, and you may be listening and reading along, but we're not worthy of any glory. All the glory in this world belongs unto Jesus Christ, our Lord. But secondly, not only do you seek the glory of God, but it means also to seek the guidance of the king. Now, what I'm saying this morning is, does the king guide your life? Does he direct you? We ask him to. We pray, "God, guard, guide, and direct us." And then we deny that God is directing us. I believe that he gives us direction. You know why? Because we don't know how to direct our own step. That Jeremiah that I mentioned a moment ago said, "It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." You and I do not know how we are to live in a lot of ways. we take the Bible and we understand that there are certain things that God wants us to do. But there are a lot of things that are not recorded in the Word of God that God has actually given us in our mind. It's kind of like back in the book of Romans chapter 1. You know, when the Bible says that the Gentiles did by nature the things that are contained in the law, they became a law unto themselves. Now, they didn't have the written word like we have it today, but they relied, and by the way, my lesson tonight is entitled, Have You Heard From God Lately? And I hope that you're here tonight for that most important lesson. We have to develop the righteousness of God. That's what Matthew 6 and 33 says, doesn't it? Not only seek the kingdom, but the righteousness of God. Not only are we to seek his kingdom, but we are to seek his righteousness. That is, that we are to seek to the point where we let God have eminent control over all of us. And we want the world to be able to see the character of God living in us. How many times have you ever heard people pray that? Father, may the world be able to see Christ living within us. And if you want me to believe your Redeemer, you're going to have to start looking like you're redeemed. You know, we sing the song, but we don't sing it with much enthusiasm and zeal. We sing some. David does a great job. He does. Didn't he do a great job this morning? But you know, sometimes we sing that old song, Redeemed, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. We don't sing it like we mean it. We sing it like this, Redeemed, Redeemed, How I Love to Be Redeemed. Now, do you think that impresses God or not? It's like the word song we were singing about this morning in our Bible class, Holy, Holy, Holy. You know how we sing that song? Holy, holy, holy. And I'm sure God's wondering whether we're going to ever get through that song. He is holy. Isaiah said, my tongue is not worthy to declare the glory of God, for my lips have spoken unclean things. But he said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. When I think of the righteousness of God, I think about a number of things. But what is the righteousness of God? Webster says it is the quality or state of being right or righteous. It means that you're holy, you're pure, you're given to purity, uprightness, rectitude. All of those describe the holiness of God. And there are three things that I want you to remember this morning that we must do. We must desire the character of God. Do you desire the character of God? You know, when I see people, I want people not to see Dan Manuel. There's nothing worthy here. I want them to see my God living within me. That's what I'm about. I don't need the accolades of the world or the praise of men. Jesus said that there were many who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We must desire the character of God. For blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You've got to desire it if you get it. To experience God, our heart must have no greater desire. Sometimes I wonder, do people really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to go? Sometimes people wait until it's too late, and they die without becoming a Christian. Several years ago, we were taking a flight, Audrey and I were, along with some others, and I noticed at the gate there was a young couple that rushed up there, and they were trying to catch the plane, and the plane was taxiing off. Have you ever experienced something like that? Or perhaps maybe, you know, it could be a number of things, actually. Maybe you were catching a bus or a train, and you got there a little bit late, and the train was pulling off, or the bus was pulling off, and you missed it, and it took a while for another one to come around. You know what? If you miss going to heaven, you will miss it altogether. There will be no second chance. You will miss it. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no greater miss, there is no greater loss than to miss the coming of Jesus Christ for the church. You will have missed every opportunity. Oh, think of all the opportunities you've had in this life to become Christians. The Bible in the book of James chapter 4 verse 14 says, your life is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. It is gone. And that's the way it is with life, isn't it? We see young people die. We see middle-aged folks, old folks. It happens. People die. The book of Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. That's the appointment that God's given us. Appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the coming judgment. It is going to happen. A true child of God actually hates sin, and he loves righteousness. But I'm afraid there are a lot of people that really kind of want to play both parts. We want to be righteous when we want to be righteous, like on a Sunday morning, and then we want to hate ungodliness when we want to hate it. David said in Psalms 42 and verse 1, and this should be the heart of every Christian. It should be as the heart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And there should be a spiritual hunger. You know what happens to people when they don't come to worship? They've lost their appetite spiritually. Oh, there was a time when they loved God. There was a time when they thirsted after the Father, and when they wanted to be righteous with God and hungering for it. But that time has passed. And when you stand in the day of judgment, you'll want to go back to the future. But it will be too late. It doesn't happen. But secondly, we must demonstrate God's righteousness, not our own. For in the book of 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. You know, a lot of people have so many missing dimensions in their life. Do you have anything missing in your life this morning? What is missing in your life? It could be God. Maybe you're having a great difficulty in your life this morning. Maybe there's something that you're just wrestling with, and it's just a tough, tough thing. And it may be that God is the missing puzzle piece. And God says that we have, those of us that are Christians, have to fan the flame. We have to keep the fire going. That's what God says, fan the flame of your faith. And a burning candle can lighten the entire world. In Matthew 6, Christ said, let your light so shine before the world that they might see your good works. And as I mentioned in Bible class this morning, glorify your God in heaven. That's what we are about, folks. But number three, have faith that our needs will be met. Now, God doesn't promise to meet our greed. He promises to meet our need. And how he does it is amazing. And notice what he says. All these things shall be added unto you. When? When you seek the kingdom of God first. God provides in the book of Job 36 and 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days, listen to this, in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Now, that's not Joel Osteen saying that. That's God saying that. Quite different from Joel, isn't it? But that's what the Father says. And those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Proverbs 34 and verse 10. My cup overflows with blessings, David said in Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6. Your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my God forever. Maybe we need to stop and count our blessings. If that sounds a little vague to you and you wonder whether or not you really are blessed, count your blessing. You'll find out that you are extremely blessed. God always has something for you, a key for every problem, a light for every shadow, and a relief for every sorrow, and a plan for every tomorrow. For every tomorrow. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. I don't want to go back to the future, do you? I'm not interested in going back and reliving my life. I want it because I would have not experienced salvation. Salvation is in that equation, isn't it? If I go back, if I want to go back to when I was 13 years of old and gave my heart to the Lord and my hand to the preacher, and I was buried in water baptism, folks. Let me tell you something. I don't want to go back to the future. If I went back and relived my life, I may have never become a Christian. I am a child of God today, and I give him the glory for all that I am. We should let life begin anew by being baptized into Christ, giving our heart to the Lord Jesus, and by obeying his gospel, then the rest of our life will be the best part of your life. It will be. You know, time passes us by, doesn't it? Someone was telling me the other day, it was so hard for them to believe that the years have come and gone. It was an old couple one time. The wife was in the nursing home with Alzheimer's, struggling to stay alive. And her husband would go and greet her every day at the nursing home. Finally, one of the nurses got so brave as to ask her husband this question. Mr. Jones, your wife has Alzheimer's. She can't even call your name anymore. She doesn't call your name. She doesn't know anything. She just smiles. And he took her hand lovingly and held it and embraced it. And he said, I tell you why I come. He said, I do not come so much for her, nearly as much as I come for me. You see, I know who she is. She may not know me, but I know her. Someday our life will be taken up with all the good, with all the bad, and we'll be judged by the righteous judge. You know, we can't go back and relive the future, but we can live it now. We can. That's why a person should accept Christ as Lord and Savior of the world and be baptized for the remission of sin. And you know what? That first step is always the hardest one, isn't it? It is. But what's your next step? What is your next step? Are you willing to let the future begin now? While we stand and while we sing.